Welcome to New World Notes, a series that explores the gap between the America we want and the America they're trying to make us settle for, and how we the people can reestablish our commonwealth and reclaim our democracy. Edited by yours truly, Kenneth Doust. Today, Can This Honeymoon Be Saved? Part 2. Or, Why Did We Lose Our Heads and Give Our Hearts to a Barack Star? We'll focus on health care, or lack thereof, and on who gets helped and who doesn't when the economy comes crashing down. Not long ago, we had our first show focusing on the failings, or maybe successes in doing evil, of the man to whom we recently entrusted our White House. That first time, we focused on the business-as-usual sociopathic warmongering. Maybe because the subject was such a bummer, I had fun putting the show together, tossing in a trailer for The War of the Roses, video by the Dixie Chicks, and by the silly but somehow likable Obama girl, parts of an Al Jazeera documentary, and a tape of the late Senator Edward Kennedy speaking at the 2008 Democratic Convention, promising that if elected, Barack Obama would do the opposite of what he has been doing since January 20.
Now the stakes have never been higher, especially for Afghans. More soldiers, more contractors, more deaths, and no end in sight. And with the surge of troops, this is now very much Obama's war.
Barack Obama will be a commander-in-chief who understands that young Americans in uniform must never be committed to a mistake, but always to a mission worthy of their bravery.
Stuff like that. On our previous show on Obama, I used the metaphor of a love affair followed by a marriage that quickly went terribly, terribly wrong. Wiser people in our town tried to warn us against getting involved with this handsome, smooth-talking Joe Camel of a man, but love is even deafer than it is blind. What happens when you wake up with a hangover and then remember that the only thing you drank the night before was Kool-Aid? Today we'll hear from some of the village elders that you might have listened to had you not been longing so hard for a change you can believe in. I'm changing the pronoun from us to you because the main conflict in my mind last November was whether to vote for Nader or for Cynthia McKinney. To show that I'm not claiming any heroism about this, let me note that it was obvious Connecticut was going to go for Obama anyway, so it made little difference who I was going to vote for. Let's start by reminding ourselves what we had longed for, and possibly even convinced ourselves we had found. Here's Obama girl again. One thing I like about her is how she refutes our stupid concepts of race. She's not black, but she's not entirely Caucasian either. I think I see traces of mestizo, African, Arab, and maybe a little Portuguese. And if she had skipped the boob job, she would now be stunningly beautiful instead of merely beautiful. Which somehow reminds me of the worst metaphor used this decade, spoken by the incurably Christian, anti-gay marriage Miss California herself, explaining why she had her breasts surgically enlarged in the middle of the beauty tournament. She did it, she said, to level the playing field. Don't even try to picture that. Your mind won't cooperate. Of course, when she failed to win the pageant at the national level, she blamed the homosexual judges. And as for Brazilian bikini wax, don't even get me started on that subject. When did Barbie become the American female ideal? Sometime in the Clinton administration, apparently. What a concept! Okay, I'm getting off track. This show is not about American women's inability to appreciate their own bodies, but instead about the inability of more and more Americans to understand what Obama has to do with freedom and democracy. Here's Obama Girl and Obama himself in their first duet with a song based on the inaugural address, reminding us of what we wished we had found.
Thank you so much for meeting me, Barack. I had to wait a really long time.
It took a little while. I've had a few things to do.
I know, but now that you're elected, we can make videos every day. Remember how you promised we'd do that?
That's not true.
But I remember you saying that.
All I've said.
I know. Just one song. So you want to do it now?
Absolutely.
Tell me when you're ready.
Let's go!
Democrat and Republican, black, white,
libertarian, socialist, left and right,
Hispanic, Asian, Native American, gay, straight,
birds and cats, fish and live bait,
young and old, rich and poor, Americans who sent a message to the world that we have never been red states and blue states. We are and always will be the United States.
Let's talk about me and you.
This is a major issue.
Boy, we've come so far.
Isn't it great that we finally got a woman?
I've got a crush on you, Bill.
Thank you, why are we whispering?
Now the whole country got a crush too.
The challenge now for us is to make sure we get known.
Yeah, now that we're BFF, we ain't gotta be alone.
I will listen to you.
I'll always be true.
This is the moment when we must come together to save this planet.
Democrat and Republican, black, white,
libertarian, socialist, left and right,
Hispanic, Asian, Native American, gay, straight,
physically fit, chunk and overweight,
young and old, rich and poor, Americans who sent a message to the world that we have never been red states and blue states. We are and always will be the United States.
Remember when you said
it is not appropriate.
Although we're close,
we're not kissing cousins.
You said you're the best candidate. Who you got your money on now?
I'm putting my money on my girl.
Who you got your money on now?
I'm putting my money on my girl.
We'll see your memories in town.
We'll say we go up to 20.
And be doing what we do best when we
unify the country.
Yeah.
This moment demands.
We all join hands.
We're not just a collection of red states and blue states.
Democrat and Republican, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Native American, gay, straight,
marsupials and invertebrates,
young and old, rich and poor, Americans who sent a message to the world that we have never been red states and blue states. We are and always will be the United States.
Red states and blue states.
We are and always will be the United States of America.
When did you realize the honeymoon was over? For Glenn Ford, executive editor of Black Agenda Report, it had never begun, and certainly was well over when he spoke in June 2009.
This is going to be kind of a rush through because President Obama has been very busy during the last 5 months working against our interests. This has already been a singular and historic presidency, not just because he is the first black president, but because he is so thoroughly the finance capitalist's president, the investment banker's president. As of March 31st, according to the Bloomberg News Service, the federal government has one way or another committed $12.8 trillion to the economic recovery. At least 9 out of every 10 of those dollars went to the banks or the insurance companies and other sectors of the finance capital class. That's at least $11.5 trillion transferred to the bankers, most of it under President Obama. Now, to put these huge numbers into perspective, the gross domestic product of the entire United States in 2008 was only $14.2 trillion. Obama, with George Bush as a junior partner in this enterprise, has in his brief time in office transferred something approaching the entire economic activity of the United States for a solid year to the bankers. Nothing remotely like that has ever occurred in the history of the modern world. So to call Barack Obama the banker's president is a gross understatement. At the same time, Obama has signed into law the biggest war budget in the history of the world. And so we find ourselves crushed between the bankers and the militarists, and Obama is feeding them both. So what is he going to do for us? Nothing. He has already told us so. At his first 100 days press conference, a BET reporter asked Obama if he had any specific plans to deal with raging black unemployment. Obama was very blunt, to the point. He said, no, he had none. Because in Obama's political philosophy, and this is quoting him, a rising tide lifts all boats. So we'll just have to wait for that tide to come in. We don't have to decipher Obama's intentions or watch for that wink that Dr. McIntosh imagines he's giving us all the time. Obama tells us straight up that he doesn't have anything for us. But he does have $11.5 trillion for the bankers. He has ruthlessly shut out of the health care debate Congressman John Conyers and all the other supporters of single-payer health care, even though at least two-thirds of Americans support single-payer or a plan called Medicare for All. He's allowed and encouraged right-wing Democrats to write their own health plans that preserve the profits of the insurance companies and the drug companies and the hospital chains. Obama has not even put forward his own health care plan, just vague rhetoric. And as a result, it is likely that the time for real health care reform will have come and gone, because Obama was more concerned with silencing progressives than with fighting corporations. Obama has done what George Bush never did do, proposed legislation for so-called preventive detention. He has gone further than George Bush in sabotaging the Durban conference on racism in Geneva. And where was the protest from us when he did that? Where were the black howls of indignation? Now Obama has formulated his own unique justification for regime change anywhere in the world, but specifically tailored to Africa. It's called Responsibility to Protect, R2P for short. And it holds that the United States has the right to rescue people from bad or ineffective governments by humanitarian military intervention, as if there is such a thing. Obama's United Nations Ambassador Susan Rice has targeted Zimbabwe, Sudan, and Somalia as eligible for the R2P treatment and has praised U.S. policy in Haiti on that basis. And there's a lot more. There's much more. But the time is short, and I'm scared of Dr. McIntosh. So let me say that I am not mad at Barack Obama. He's the banker's president. He's not my president. But I am deeply disappointed in many of us. It's what the Obama effect has done to us that has created what I believe is the most acute political crisis in generations in black America. We have been disarmed, neutralized, first by the prospect and now by the reality of having a black man in the White House. Obama said that he did not oppose wars. He just opposed dumb wars. Those of us who are blindly pro-Obama used to oppose U.S. wars, except for Obama's wars. These folks oppose massive transfers of wealth to the rich, except when Obama does it. They get righteously indignant when the United States stands with Europe and with Israel against the very concept of redress of racial grievances worldwide, except when Obama does that. They oppose U.S. policies of regime change and neocolonialism, except when Obama and Susan Rice propose those kinds of policies. Black leadership has called for a Marshall Plan for the cities in nearly every election cycle that I've known in the 40 years that I've been a journalist, except this past one. What we've seen is that we have collectively chosen to become irrelevant in the presence of Obama, and that is the most important reason that Obama is not good for us.
How does a dinky, fourth-rate, third-world country like Canada keep producing so many great singer-songwriters? Just kidding about our fellow NAFTA victims, but they do have a great track record in popular music, possibly because Clear Channel doesn't yet own 70% of their radio stations as they do down here. Anyway, we heard Bruce Cockburn singing Democracy. Before that, a fine talk by Glenn Ford. The audience in the room was mostly black, but as you probably discovered, we don't have to be mostly black to hear that he's talking to us, too. Let's end our honeymoon is over party with two short ones. First, village elder Jello Biafra, speaking months before the Democrats nominated Obama, warning us that when you wish upon a star, pick the star carefully.
But beware of the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Is Obama the anti-Hillary? Judging from his voting record, I'm not even sure that's true. Obama looks all the more attractive as a leader precisely because he's never actually led. No defining issue or accomplishment except he's so cool. He's so cool. How can you not dig him? He's like the audacity of hope. Change we can believe in as long as it isn't too specific. He's so cool. And he is cool when you see him on TV. He's a wonderful speaker, comes across as a cool guy you could actually hang out and talk to, if only that was reflected in his voting record. Obama voted to make the Patriot Act permanent. Obama came out against the war early in 2002, but then when he was in a position of power, he keeps voting money to continue the war when he finally has the power to cut it off. And many of you know that Obama completely reversed course with a calculated stabbing in the back of every single person in this room, where after initially threatening to filibuster the new law legalizing all of the NSA's illegal wiretaps on people and letting the phone company off the hook for spying, phone companies off the hook for spying on us as well, he turned around and voted yes and gave Bush and Cheney damn near everything they wanted and a lot more than they expected. Legalizing the exact same crimes that got Nixon thrown out of office during Watergate. And don't forget, when it was revealed that Bush was doing this, they took a poll, I think it was CNN, and over half the country wanted Bush impeached at that point. But oh no, Jerry Blank, Nancy Pelosi, you're impeachment, he's off the table, support the troops. He said he wants universal health care, but we can't have single payer because disease industry bean counters, you know, the health insurance industry, they might wind up unemployed, which is kind of like saying we have to let the mafia keep going because otherwise we'll have unemployed gangsters. Health insurance scam artists, quote, need a seat at the table. Isn't the health insurance industry the problem?
Jello Biafra, speaking not only before the election, but even before the nominating conventions, 2008. Last one by Mumia. From a hole somewhere in Pennsylvania's penal system, former Philadelphia journalist Mumia Abu-Jamal dispatches regular essays. Here he doesn't even mention Obama's name. He doesn't have to, does he? And isn't his point that whichever tool our Wall Street leaders choose to be in charge of us rabble, the results will be the same? The system has to change, not just the personnel.
G20 or more G-money? On the move, long live John Africa. When you hear about a G20 meeting, you better believe they're not getting together to solve your financial problems. In fact, you're not even on the agenda. If anything, they're trying to find a way to pluck you like a chicken, to get you to pay their losses back, as we all saw in the bailout. As the G20 gathers this year, they gather amidst the wreckage of their own creation. Representatives of 20 of the alleged developed economies are instead representatives of casino capitalism, the use, misuse, and grand theft of public wealth to fund the bonuses of financial pirates which have looted the economies of millions. A few months ago, as they gathered in London, the nation's finance ministers talked about tax havens, but few had any substantial solutions to the economic turmoil roiling in their own countries. Much has been said about stimulus packages and even of the enormous amounts of money being allocated for this purpose, but a modest amount has actually been spent, with the lion's share being devoted to boosting the very banks and businesses that created this disaster. And while banks and billionaires have been rewarded for their insatiable greed. Average people, working people, families struggling in the worst economic environment since the 1930s are on their own. Millions are jobless. Many are homeless. Many more are hopeless. And while they barely survive day by day, big buck bonuses are back on track at Goldman Sachs and other entities in the city. Politicians, meanwhile, talk of a jobless recovery. If there are no jobs, who can speak of a recovery? Wall Street is recovering, but are you? Even the French conservative president, Nicolas Sarkozy, said the economic disaster spelled the end to laissez-faire, French for let it be, economic theory. Governments on both sides of the Atlantic are giving various stimulus packages to banks and businesses that looks an awful lot like life support. If this is free market, then slavery was free labor. Only a bold, unified people's movement can put the people's interests before that of big finance. It's going to take protest, real protest, to break through this vampire's bite on the wealth of nations. When the people organize, change can happen if they're determined enough, militant enough, and fight for it. So organize and fight for the people's share of national wealth. On the move, I thank you. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
Thanks for listening. New World Notes is produced in the spacious underground studios of WWUH-FM, a community service of the University of Hartford. Many thanks to Skidmark Bob, producer of Pop Defect Radio on Free Radio Santa Cruz, for introducing me to singer Bruce Coburn. PopDefectRadio.blogspot.com. Glenn Ford recording, courtesy of Freemix Radio and Vox Union Media. Thanks to PrisonRadio.org for the commentaries of Mumia Abu-Jamal. New World Notes is available off the air and a jillion other ways. For more information, start at our webpage. We're at http://newworldnotes.blogspot.com. You'll find my email address there, too, and I'd love to hear from you. To receive our free weekly email newsletter, just send me a note requesting one. The opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily represent the views of the presenter, station management staff, or our gracious host and licensee, though Leo the janitor says he likes the Canadian music more than, quote, that Yankee crap you're always playing, eh? From Darkest New England, this is Kenneth Doust, wishing you a good week, echoing Long Live John Africa, and advising, illegitimi non carborundum, keep the faith and please tune in again. Thank you.